Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Welcome back, rescuers, to The Lucky Die. Previously, Balance meets his baby sister, Raoul consoles a friend, Squash loses a week, as Ultana narrows down the search. Back in the physical plane, Squash spends some time trying to digest his near-death experience and everything that has happened in his absence. In Balance's absence, he finds that his family has gone through some changes. What is Squash's birth name? Will Zelfar be able to meet them in Belikbud? And can they get the relic without killing the queen? I guess we're about to find out. Welcome back to The Lucky Die.
Wants to do as I set up any last conversations, because basically you have the night. It is pretty late when we find ourselves back in this episode, pretty late in the evening. Is there anything anyone wants to do? Anyone wants to go check anything out? Basically, this is your last stop before Falsum, we depart once again.
We fill Talvin and Inverna in on what the plan is. Balance emphasizes to everybody.
No, kill.
No lethal.
Non-lethal.
Non-lethal.
Everyone has
please.
Been told to unsharpen their blades. Everyone looks sad.
Yeah, seriously.
Anyway, right. The plan is reiterated of no stabby stabby, no nothing, nothing, nothing.
Knock them out.
Yeah, knock them out and walk on. We have armor being made for Squash.
We make sure that Talvin and Verna are properly outfitted with whatever they need.
They are properly outfitted with the things they need, yes.
Yeah, I think Squash at some point is going to go meet up with Demi. Whether it be in the night or the morning after is kind of...
What is your preference? Because unless specified, Demi is kind of just working her little butt off.
I think it would be during night. I'm assuming Squash goes to bed and does not fall asleep. Okay.
Yeah. And I mean, he had like a 7-day rest, so...
No!
I would call that a long rest, right?
Not what that counts as. Yeah, no. So he's going to slink over and try to meet up with Demi in the mirror room or whatever they called it.
Yeah, like if you slink your way over to Demi and she's in the mirror room, she kind of like jumps up when she hears someone coming. And then just like seeing that it's you and knowing that you haven't seen the mirror, she kind of like closes the door behind her. Yeah.
Hey, can we talk?
Well, I think we are talking, so yes, we can. Is here fine?
Yeah, sure.
She kind of looks at the four guards by the door.
Okay, no.
Can we murder them?
No, we can't murder them.
Yes, you could. You're very powerful.
You're real.
Where did you get?
No, just in the room. I need to talk to you a little bit.
Okay. You guys can go to like the trank room. Like, it's the business. It's the unofficial business room of the crew. So I guess that'll be it. All
right. Squusk just kind of sits down and waits for her to sit down.
She does. She sits on the floor, so she's about the same height as you.
So, you guys told me everything that happened since I left or went missing, however you want to phrase it.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, nowhere in that story did it come up how you lost your eye. What happened? Why is nobody telling me?
Well, so there's a cost for doing magic, as you know, like there'll be, hang on, and you kind of like see her close her eyes and like you can see that she's trying to focus. You see some of the sparks in her hair like die down a little bit. She closes her eye, fuck you. And she opens it again, and it's not bright red anymore. It's kind of like a dullish brown. And she says, there's a cost for doing magic. And the very old school way of paying for magic is how resurrections happen with the sacrifice. So you need to break the laws of nature, you pay a price. And I needed to ask for help, and this was the cost.
Wait, what spell?
A spell to move people to places. That's nothing to worry about. I'm fine with this.
You lost your eyes to get the Chuckle Fox to me.
One eye. Not eyes. One eye.
They said there wouldn't be a cost.
I don't think they said that.
They said that. The Valkyries, he said that they will not have to pay the price.
Do you think she means the price of resurrection?
I don't know. She just said there wouldn't be a price.
Well, it's not 25,000 gold of gem.
I don't... It was your eye worth more than 25,000 gold in gems.
Well, it was... My eye and my cost. I'm fine with it.
So you just give up your body. Just throw it away. To help what, me?
Yeah. Why wouldn't I?
Because I'm Squash. I'm
so far not hearing anything that says, well, I wouldn't do this.
I am not worth saving. Not for that price.
Well, I'm not worth saving either.
Yes, you
are. I destroyed whole tribes. I'm not a good person. I'm just trying to make things better. And sometimes that comes at a cost. And I feel that that's a fine thing to pay. And I've paid it. And I'm okay with that. It just means I have to take a different path. I'm not head of the Witcher Society anymore. I have a different calling now. And I'm okay with that. That's my choice.
Wait, So you've given up your seat as the head of the Witcher Society. You've given up your eye. What are you going to give up next? Your voice? Your sight? The rest of it? What are you going to give up? Your memory? Where are you going to stop giving and start taking?
I did take. I took a lot, and she looks up with her one eye. I took a lot. I took something I needed and something I wanted. And I forced that change on the world. I didn't. Damaz is in the world because of me. Those orcs are dead because of me. I have taken enough.
Well, don't throw away more of you to save me. I'm not worth it. Don't you dare.
I would have come to get you. But I couldn't.
Why not? What was so important? Paperwork? Your seat? Your brother?
She looks up at you on that comment. If Damas and I... You know they had a bond, the three of them? A bond that I put on them? Like, one that I forced on them? Well, I was kind of paid to do it, and I didn't know who they were back then, but now I do it, and then a friend said, I wouldn't do that again, but they had a bond I put on them.
Yeah, they could talk to each other in their minds.
Yeah, but they also couldn't get away from each other. They couldn't go to a different plane of existence from each other or from Caden. Otherwise, it breaks and there are bad consequences to that. And Caden is old because of that, and that's because of me. Damas and I have a bond.
Why do you guys have a bond? Oh, to talk to each other, of course. Makes sense.
No. She shakes her head. We have a bond because he shuts Grimsh out.
The orc god of slaughter?
She nods.
What do you mean he shuts it out?
He found a spell. And when we cast that spell, it cast a bond between us. And it keeps the voice of Grimsh mostly at bay if I don't ask Grimsh for help. If we are cut off from each other, if this bond is broken, if one of us goes to another plane for more than a few seconds, it's gone. And I'm not strong enough to stop Grimsh from taking me over. Not on my own. And as much as I feel bad about what I did to you in kind of like maybe manipulating you into going down to helping them, and I shouldn't have done that, and I'm sorry, I couldn't risk bringing that into the world. So, yeah. An eye is tiny price.
You paid that price to Grimsh?
Yeah.
You asked him how to break the veil.
He broke the veil for me.
That was no magic, that was a sacrifice.
Yes, I sacrificed and agreed to help Grimsh to break the veil, to have the power to break the veil.
And what? Grimsh not talking to you? You're okay?
He's there. I can hear him. My new path is what my path was always, what I'd always wanted to be as a kid growing up with the other orcs. I wanted to work for Grimsh. I wanted people to understand. You have to understand I was born in a very different world to you.
Yeah, orcs. We talked about that a little bit.
Well, now I'm an Eye of Grimsh, and I have to work hard to make sure that the orcs that remain will come with me on the crusade to wipe out the Blissful Eclipse. I don't think that's a bad thing. But it means that when Rowena goes, I will have to go with her.
So you're, what, a witch doctor now?
No, I'm still very much as I was. I still have magic and I still have the warlocky thing and I have all those things and they're still going for me. Just now I serve Grimsh in a different way. I mean, I always kind of served Grimsh anyway, but that's not really the point. Don't worry about it. These aren't things that should worry you. I mean, you have enough to worry about as it is. You want to go home and see what happened to your family and you want to help them with the chalice-y things and putting mana back together and I want to help them. We want to make sure the world doesn't die. So don't worry about it.
Right. So, don't pay the price next time. I won't be there.
What do you mean?
If this is what it costs to bring something like me back, it's not worth it.
Why do you keep saying that?
What?
Something like you, someone like you. You're fine.
No. Don't try that. We both know that's not true.
We both know we're pieces of shit, right?
Yeah. We're awful, awful people who have done awful, awful things. There are people out there that would pay good money to see us on the ground. In the ground.
Yeah. But that's... doesn't mean we can't try and do good. And it doesn't mean that we're not worth making sacrifices for and making connections. We still deserve happiness and life. And you have three people out there who are willing to go through utter shit to get you.
Yeah.
These people are way better people than we are. And that includes a murderer who's turned into a goddess. So I don't think we're doing too bad.
Yeah, that's a whole thing, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a whole thing.
Jesus.
So are you done feeling pity now? Can we just move on to the good stuff where we save the world and then we can worry about being shitty people afterwards?
Sure. Sure.
Just don't be too hard on yourself.
Don't throw everything away.
She puts her hand out. I agree.
Deal.
Okay.
And he shakes her hand.
Okay. Are we done?
Yeah.
Okay, good. All right. What do you three guys want to be doing? Is there anything you want to do?
Yes.
Okay.
I want to do things that V hates all the time.
You talking about shopping?
Well, no. I want to go see my tabaxi friend.
Oh, yeah!
Because maybe he has something that can do something about me seeing things. I don't know. Raul doesn't know what's going on. And he will very, very slowly go through the process of explaining this and translating this to his friend.
Okay. You go over to your tabaxi friend. Their grasp of Discora Common is still slow, so I don't have to give them a voice.
Mm-hmm.
God, fuck.
Don't give in, be strong.
I can't. People keep ripping away my emotional armor. Fucks. The roll a persuasion roll. I mean, let's just see generally how you're doing.
How my friend likes me today.
Yeah.
Let's see.
You've just, I like the idea that Ral has made friends with the grumpiest tabaxi in the world.
He's not grumpy when he's even grumpy. He loves hanging out. We pet each other and stuff. All right. I don't have a very good persuasion.
That's good.
Oh, it's a 19. I have a +3 to that.
You kind of like convey... I mean, you do look pretty bad as well. You've had a rough couple of days. They see you and they kind of like begin making some potions as soon as you walk through the door. Like they stop they were doing like mid boil and shove it off the thing, and they begin to work on a new thing. And they kind of like communicate like, you know, the additional like burns down by your eyes and your nose. And they kind of like questioningly ask if what's going on without saying anything. They pick up bad shit went down. And they show you the herbs and whatnot required for what they're making. And they create for you a normal healing potion.
Yay.
Keep yourself above half health, you fool.
Fly, you fools.
Fly, fools.
And so that's one regular. How many Ds is that?
Three.
Three Ds.
Two, maybe? I think lesser is two.
3d8?
The basic D8? One is 2d4 plus 2. That's the basic potion.
Oh, I want the one better than that.
That would be 44 plus 4.
Yeah, do 44 plus 4. Have that one.
Okay.
That's one. I wanted you to have more than the 2d4 because that's lame.
Okay. Yeah, Raw hugs his buddy. And basically is pretty exhausted still. Of course. Yeah, hugs and Tio time before bed.
before bed or during bed.
Well, you know.
Okay. All right, Raoul, you pass a painful night, and I need you to do a D20 check, please. I believe this is the last D20 check.
Okay. 14.
You wake up still able to breathe.
Breathing is good.
Hooray. Need that.
Question. Where? Never mind. Actually, don't worry. Okay. Yeah. So that was your last D20 check. We will move on to D12s as of tomorrow morning.
Oh.
Balance. Anything you want to do before bed?
He's probably going to spend the night in meditation with Talvin and Ninverna if they'll have him. And probably just kind of like idly gossip and like he just wants to catch up with them. Like he wants
you spend eight. Yeah, no, that's fair. You can definitely.
This
spend
is the
like,
first time in literally 50 years that he has had the three of them all together and just able to just be friends again.
There is still some obvious standoffishness from Talvin. As much as he logically knows that it's not your fault and he doesn't blame you, and Inverna's trying to be a good influence on that, there's a part of him that still just can't drop it. There's still a little awkwardness there, but it's kind of melting, and it's understandable. You'll spend time catching up and talking, and they gossip about Kythea and like future plans, and they talk about what they want, and you know, they catch up, and it's like old times again. Inverna's playing her usual tricks with Mage Hand and mucking around with illusions and whatnot. You haven't seen them happy in a long time, and they are very happy. And they're very happy that you get to share it with them. So yeah, it's a good evening. You're happy.
I am happy. That's adorable.
Sultana, how are you spending the evening?
Probably spending some time with Benno, you know, having dinner.
Benno time.
There was some Benno time. Benno wants to see what your temple looks like.
Oh, I'm taking him in. Yeah, can I show it to him?
Yeah, absolutely. So long as you're the one that opens the door, you can show him the temple.
I bring him into my temple. I'm like, look at my temple. How cool is this?
He spent some time discussing with you like the tenements of like what it is that being a disciple of Zoltana is, and
he's my
he
first
wonders
one.
Whether. Yeah, he wonders whether Adette would be angry at him and then realize she'd forgive him. So
she's
wow.
Literally the goddess of forgiveness.
Yeah.
Savage.
He you know, you two spend time catching up and talking, and a couple of the other elves and people that he's been working with, a couple of the followers from Savras's army, just come in and talk and catch up with yourself and like begin to talk to you about various things. You're making smooth connections, but it's genuinely just like a really nice evening in there. Y'all can drink naturally because it's your temple. It's all good here.
Oh yeah, I think one of Zoltana's like important like religious things is just always having like a giant tankard of ale. Like not a tankard, was it like a keg?
Yeah,
a barrel of ale in all of her temples.
Yep. It's a thing, and like he begins to note this down. I'm not going to say you've gained a lot of followers, but a lot of people understand you and get this, and they're looking for something like this right now. So yeah, like you schmooze, you talk, you make new friends. It's a good evening. All right, so tick number three for good evenings. Squash.
Mm-hmm.
Anything you want to be doing?
I think Squash just has a hard time sleeping, and he just starts kind of wandering around, and eventually like decides like, I don't know, try to go help Demi or something.
Okay. The last you saw her, she was wandering back to the mirror room, but that was a couple of hours ago.
Yeah. Well, Squash goes to look in the mirror room.
It is quite late at night and she's not there.
The guards just let me pass.
Yeah. Shit, fuck, you bastard.
You deserve that.
Yes, I do. This is my own fault. Yeah, like, you're fairly distinctive. People would recognize you.
All right. God damn it. Yeah, okay, Squash just, like, what does the mirror room look like?
It's a kind of smallish room. There is an armor stand in the center of it, which looks like it should take six objects, but not here's a piece of armor kind of objects. This, you know, you've seen this before. On the wall opposite the door, there is a big piece of cloth, a tapestry or something or some such, which, as you know, covers a mirror. Yeah, it's not a particularly big room. Like, those of you that were in it to receive one of the boosts, it was a really small room. It only just fit all of you.
Does Demi leave, like, a bunch of work stuff out, or is she one of those people that, like, clears up after herself?
Demi clearly doesn't clean up after herself. That's clearly not a thing.
I think Squash just kind of like looks through some of the stuff, and as soon as he realizes how arcane-y and over the top of his head it is, he just kind of gives up on it. And then he just kind of slowly starts like looking at the tapestry that's covering the mirror. He's just like, so don't look in the mirror, they said. But they all looked in the mirror, and they're fine. They're saving the world. All four of them, I think. Yeah. A little peek couldn't hurt. And Squash just kind of slowly walks over to the mirror, and he just lifts the kind of corner of the tapestry. Does he just see a normal reflection in the mirror?
If you're only lifting the corner, yeah. Like, you need to be able to look into, like, the soul that is your eyes to be able to trigger this.
Yeah, like, Squash just kind of lifts the corner and sees the reflection of the room. And he's like, yeah, look, it's just a mirror. And he's kind of like, it's like a super ornate mirror, right?
Yeah, like it's kind of ornate around the edge. It's not, like, over the top, but it's nice. You think there are things written around it with your passive perception of 26, but you can't read it.
All right. Yeah, I think Squash just kind of gets like pulled in by the inscriptions and weirdness, and he's like, and like just kind of lifts up the tapestry more and more and like pulls at it to see more until he kind of just pulls it back all the way.
I need you to make a wisdom saving throw.
Ooh.
Dun, this is a dun, difficult dun.
Check. Oh no, wisdom is not my good stat.
Thank God.
I got a 5.
If only someone had told you not to do this thing. Ugh.
Like everyone.
Yeah, darn. Well, I wanna know what my nightmare vision will be.
Squash is like, if only I wasn't high, would everyone tell me not to look at this thing?
If they just give me God's dream, I would have gone to sleep. It was my nightly routine, yeah. And nobody did it. All right.
This is payback on the world for me not being high in it right now. Ha.
Ha. You see yourself much, much younger. You're a halfling boy again. There are no scars on your body. There's no sharpened teeth, no acid on your face. You look strong and healthy. You carry a sword in one hand and you're wearing your father's armor. And your eyes are clear. There are no drugs here. There are people twice the size of you. Come to you and thank you for saving them. You see people all around. You can't see their faces, you just see them. As you move from village to village in this vision, you become older. You become the same age you are now. And you come to a new place. You see a tall, half-elven man, the silhouette. And he lifts his hands high and you see wasps of onyx flying out and hit you. You see the blood pour from your arm, every tiny sting. It's not that you can't take the pain. You just see that it doesn't stop bleeding. Eventually, the man disappears. And you look around, finding ways of trying to stop yourself from bleeding. And you reach down to the ground. And you see the sand. And you take it. You take more of the sand. It heals over your wounds. But you keep taking the sand. Every sniff after it's healed begins to scar you. It begins to warp your eyes, your teeth. The armor disappears, the sword disappears, and your vision goes woozy as you take more and more of this. and it begins to pour around you, like an hourglass filling up. You keep trying to swim to the surface, but the sand keeps going up your nose and you keep getting pulled down. Your body is thinning, wasting away. Your teeth become sharp, your face scarred with acid. Your eyes become cloudy. As the vision pulls back, you see you're in an hourglass, struggling to get to the top before the sand completely buries you. Then you see three figures. You see them pick up their weapons and crack the glass. The sand pours out and you fall out with it. They reach down, they put you back on your feet. The sand pours away from you. And you take a place at the back of this group. And then the vision is engulfed in fire. You see a tall woman, wreathed in fire. She walks towards you and engulfs you in this. And you take a few steps back and you see sand pouring out of your nose again. She reaches out for you once more. You see a small amount of fire stay on your shoulder. You see the sand turning to glass. You see your arm reach up to touch her, embracing the fire. And then the scene is engulfed in darkness, eclipsing the view momentarily. And you can just see the small flickering outline of this woman and the small shadowy outline of yourself. And when the darkness that has eclipsed this vision disappears, you see your blade in the chest of the woman engulfed in fire. And then the mirror clears and you are yourself again.
I think Squash finds himself, like, kind of sitting slash lying on the floor, kind of like he fell backwards.
As you fall backwards, you let go of the tapestry and it covers the mirror once again.
I think Squash has a single track mind now. He goes and gets himself some dragon scent to sleep.
Immersion therapy. It works. Everyone, try it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You go find this dragon, sir.
I buy 3 doses. Enough for 3 nights.
I will let this pass. This is the last time you're going to get free access to drugs because I don't. I've just warned you in the biggest possible way.
Did I say dragon scent?
Yes.
No, I meant Godstream. Fuck.
You explicitly were looking for dragon scent immediately.
No. Oh, God. No,
you were looking for dragon scent. Only to Godstream was available.
I was
immersion
Godstream.
Therapy.
No.
Immersion therapy.
No. Okay. Now I understand your extreme reaction. Like, yes. dragon scent.
You go to like the place where the alchemists are and the training room and all that good stuff. The forge is, and it's easy to find the stash of herbs. You can kind of indicate to one of the people there, and they pull out 3 portions for you and hand it over. Do you know what you're doing?
I know.
Just you have the proper doses. Don't use too much.
I know.
My tabaxi friend B.
No.
God damn it.
Your tabaxi friend will never have a voice.
B.
You told me to be strong. Yeah, you have 3 doses of Godstream.
How much is that? A gold apiece?
No. I don't want gold from you.
What? Why not?
What?
Do you hate Halfling?
No.
Then why won't you take my gold?
Because we're all here to help each other out. I didn't come all the way to Kino for nothing, you know.
Wait, you're from Kino?
They kind of look down. Like, the gnome looks down at herself and looks back up at you and like, yeah.
All right. I'm writing two portions of God's Dream because Squash is using one tonight.
Yes. You find it a lot easier to go to sleep. Yeah, it makes it a lot easier. Yeah, that's fine. Okay. Next morning rolls around. Squash, your studded armor is available. You can go pick that up, not a problem. And you can see that Demi is kind of like pacing up and down, sort of like the entrance to the barracks where like she's been traditionally teleporting people up and down. You can see her like, you know, kind of like stepping from side to side and like kind of getting ready for what needs to be done today. Okay, so everyone got everything? Everyone's good. Okay, so we need like the three of you, and we have you, and we have the two of you, and we have Tio, and we have Alecto. Okay, so we have everyone and everything, and everyone is good to go. All right, so your destination is Beleg Bude. Are you 100% sure that this is what you want to do? You want to do this? You don't want to do anything else? You don't want to... You're good.
Good is a relative term, but sure.
Okie dokie then.
It's not like the fate of the world is at stake.
Yes. Well, you know, yeah, fate of the world is very important. So let's save that, and then we can do all the other saving. So remember the rules: stabby stabby, but no killy killy. Okay, ready, everyone? All right, good. Everyone, grab hands.
You're really cuffing me here. I'm supposed to be the goddess of bloody vengeance.
No, you're supposed to cuff them, Zoltana.
Right. See, Rall gets it.
Well,
that's why I gave you the manacles.
Demi raises her hands and she kind of like claps them together a little bit. It's like, okay, and off
wait, no,
to
wait.
Beleg. What?
I have to check with my mother to see if she heard back from my brother and father. I'm sorry.
Kind of like it
just
bit,
occurred to
goes
me.
Goes and pace up and down in the corridor like the entire length. Her pacing is more like running though. So yeah. Sure, go check with your parents.
Okay, let me get, just hold on really quick. This could be important. Bounce runs to where his mother is, but like right before he rounds the corner, he kind of slows down in case the baby's sleeping, you know, or no. meditating. Trancing.
Doesn't walk very much.
Why aren't they breathing fire already?
We walk in like an hour. What the fuck? What is this lazy blob?
God. Oh my god. This could feasibly be the first time Raoul has ever encountered a baby.
reasonably, yeah.
Yeah,
he gets the gist because he knows children. Like, he sees children and knows how long they age, but, like, it's still weird for him. Jokes are still valid.
Yep.
Ma'am.
Ma'am. As you approach, she's kind of like sitting up, and like the baby's like off to one side in a little cot, and she seems to be kind of like reading through some papers, and yeah.
We're about to leave. Any word?
She looks at her wrist, and she looks around, looks at you, and she's like, nothing yet, I'm afraid.
All right, well, we kind of can't put this off, so we're leaving.
You're going to be fine. You've got this. You have a good team with you. You've got this. And maybe your father and your brother are just going to make their way straight there, and they can deal with whatever craziness comes after you've dealt with your aunt. You still have other outlooks to find.
Right.
You've got this. Come here, give me a cuddle. And she kind of like stands up and like pulls you into a hug.
Balance gives her a hug.
Okay, remember, don't die.
I'm going to certainly try not to.
Taps you on the back. She goes back down to reading through papers and doing her motherly thing.
Balance comes running back.
All right.
Okay. No word from them. We're on our own.
As you say that, like, Demi skids to a halt at the end of the corridor. Like, comically, the thing where legs are going underneath her and she runs away. I was like, okay, are we all ready now?
Right, let's go.
Aethel, you made a noise?
No, I was going to answer yes, but Arch was very quick on the draw there.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
You have to be much quicker. Like, things move at speed around.
All right, do it now, go!
Don't
do magic!
Me.
Do it!
There's no
shouting. Do it!
I'm wearing metal!
Squash. Wait,
She throws her hands in the air, claps and says one word, and you all feel the tug behind the back of your navel. She's not dealing with this.
Is Debbie coming with us?
I panic and try to take off my belt.
Okay.
You could ask her if she can come.
No. She has her own shit to deal with.
She has shit to do with.
Not to mention, of the people in this room, she is the one I'd be most worried about actually doing the murder. Fucking
it
circle
would be an
of death.
What?
Okay. I'm offended.
You don't have circle of death. Or power would kill.
Raises her hand.
She'd be worried about me doing murders.
No, because I trust as my friend that you'll listen to me when I say, please don't do a murder on my people.
Meh.
Oh, he brought out the trust word. Oh,
I did.
Damn it.
Unless you're going to be a goddess of distrust.
Unless you're the goddess of dick moves.
Dick moves, Zoltana.
Do dick moves fall under the umbrella of bloody vengeance?
I think they might, actually. To be determined. No. I won't pull a dick move on you, though.
I appreciate that.
Okay. You guys feel a tug on the back of your navel, and you are sent through to the Witches' Society in Belagbud. There's only one exit from this. This particular one you've been sent to. There's a singular exit. It's fairly early in the morning. But there are sounds of movement outside, people, elves mostly. Unusually, there's the sound of like armor and such like tramping up and down the streets outside. What do you guys want to do? I will, however, point out that you do have a dwarf and a halfling in your midst.
Yeah.
And a dragon.
Oh, we should have like put them on stilts. Fuck.
We should have bought a
trench
coat
for me
and Sultana.
Oh, we missed it.
If there was ever a time to try this trench coat dwarf thing, it would
be
now.
Have to re-record the last three episodes, we didn't do this on anything. Damn.
I'm going to use my glamored armor to make it look like I'm in Inquisitor attire, and have something that covers up my hair, like maybe like a bandana or something like that. Something that covers my hair
like
and my forehead.
Like an elven bandaria. Like an elven one.
I'm trying to think like
if
what
you're
would
trying
be
to, like an inquisitor, yeah. Like okay.
Maybe it's like one of those like leather hoods that has the holes that my ears can poke out through.
Yeah, that would be fine.
Cap.
To be fair, Talvin is wearing his inquisitor's attire. And Inverno is wearing a simple robe.
All right.
What's Ral and Zoltana and Squash going to attempt to do?
I want Squash to stand on my shoulders, and I'm gonna put my cloak around us, and we're gonna pretend to be one tall person. No, I'm just kidding. I'm fucking around.
Tiny hands, a tiny head, like a T-Rex, and then just the biggest, fattest ass.
We're Vincent Adult Man from
yes. Oh, I appreciate that reference.
Love you, Aethor.
Let's go do office stuff.
Balance is going to turn to Talvin and say, do you want to try doing like a prisoner ruse? Think that might work? They kind of stick out.
Yes. Unfortunately, we have to make it all the way to the Queen's Chambers. I don't know how long the ruse will hold. I think if people within the Mages, Witches Society here probably get away with it, but when we're actually inside the council chamber area, which is where I expect her to be, this could be more difficult.
Well, I should be able to. Well, wait a minute. Hold on a second. Is that a character?
Put them in a bag of holding.
One, two, three, four, five. Did you bring your stupid ass wolf?
Yes.
Yes.
Fuck. Six.
But. And Tio.
Does that count?
No. Tio doesn't count in any numbers.
We have exactly the amount of people. I can teleport exactly the seven of us.
Perfect.
Does Squash count as a person?
Yes.
Yes.
Are we
what
sure
if
about this?
They are.
He might be a shit person, but he is a person.
Other. If the two ones are stacked, the two small ones are stacked on top of each other, could they be one person?
That's can not they how share that works. A seat? That's not how that works.
But they won't even take up a whole seat.
He basically has to punch a hole through the stalking for every person here. Okay, so no.
Yeah.
It's not like we could like put like 21 halflings through instead of 7 fully grown elves. It's not how this works.
But no. V, that's how the that's the small advantage. That's the advantage of being small.
No, strength and numbers. We aren't having theory of the small here.
Yes, V.
Okay, so yeah, so Raoul, Zoltana, and Squash, what are we gonna do with them?
I don't know, V. Where
are you asking me?
I think someone was looking into teleportation magic. Sorry, not magic, psychic.
If we can get within sight line of the room, or at least the entryway or near to, I can teleport all of us straight there in case we need to get there quickly.
How do we know for sure she's there? Maybe we should check first. I could have Teo go look, maybe.
That's an idea.
There's a balcony in the council chambers. Do you remember? You could get Teo up there.
We need to get outside first.
Of course.
All right.
Okay, let's try the prisoner routine with Zoltana and Squash. There are two of us. We can make this work. Just Raoul.
And if they ask about an Inverna, well, you're our magical reinforcement.
Yeah, I can make that work. I mean, I have some magic. It's not as potent as it should be, but I can make it work.
Maybe I should walk away from everyone else. I could try to be sneaky.
There's going to be a lot of eyes around. Everybody's on high alert. If you get caught, we might not be able to interfere. Better not to split up while we're here.
Okay,
I've got some rope. Tie it around your wrists. Try to squash. You're really good with knots. Do you think you can do one that could be pulled apart in an instant?
Oh, I should be able to do that easily. Do you want me to roll sleight of hand or survival?
Let's go survival.
That's a 22.
Yes, it's fairly easy for you to create three sets of knots, including on yourself. Yeah, you can tie one to each, or one prisoner be with one elf. It's doable. If I take Raoul, say we can say that he was assisting these two, provided they leave us at uniform level, we can probably con our way through as much as we can.
Sounds good.
What do you need to do to get Teo up to the council chambers, Ra?
I just don't know how far away I'm allowed to be from him and still see.
I guess we shall have to try and find out.
All right. No offense, Talvin, but I think I'm the more charismatic one between us. Let me take point.
You see Nirvana, like, cough behind a hand.
Elsa's got kind of like a half cocked smile at that.
Shade.
Huh. All right. So the six of you make your way out of the Witches Society.
What the fuck are we doing with the wolf? How do you bullshit that?
Oh, I've got an idea, V. I'm gonna do Teo time and have Teo like walk along the like streets like a little cat on the rooftops and watch us. And Raoul's going to watch through that and let himself be pulled by the rope and directed by the rope because, like, he would need to be.
That's
and
good.
He could, have his skeleton face off and, like, be passed as a necromancer or something.
You would just inspire fear and frighten against
anyone. Well, I mean, what else do I have?
I mean, it is a good way to keep people away from us.
What else do I have going for me? I'm a dragon monster otherwise, and okay, that's not going to get me much further.
All right. Squash, this might be a new thing for you, seeing Raoul just walk around with scary specter space on. But it's not really terrifying because something about the very angry paladin next to you is making you feel calm and completely immune to fear.
It's a dangerous combination.
Goddamn aura.
Does her aura suppress fear?
Yeah, yep. It suppresses the frightened effect.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Super good.
So my racial skill is completely useless as long as I'm in her range.
What's your racial skill?
Advantage on fear.
Oh, you have to be like within, is it 10 feet your aura?
I think it's that or 15.
I have no idea.
It's 10.
Yeah. My aura of courage or my aura, oh, my aura of protection, 10 feet.
Yeah. All right. So yeah, as long as you're within 10 feet of her, if you're more than 10 feet, you're probably going to want to use your roll, but you don't need to right now. Okay. With Scary Scary Ral and with the combination of the three elves so claiming that as a necromancer for everyone to stand back. I don't know if this adds to the effect or takes away from it.
Well, I mean, he's putting really his know. Hood up. It's more of a, if a guard comes up and asks like, hey, what are these three? And they like, look close at like Ral's face under the hood. They'll be like, oh, fuck. And look,
oh,
you know,
fuck, this is scary, scary, scary.
He's not blatantly parading around.
And then he just, nope.
He's doing the usual, like, tuck his tail and that.
I think between the 22 survival check on these knots, they look real good, but are completely useless. The fact that we have Ral looking like a goddamn necromancer, wandering around with the team if anyone gets too close, and three fairly charismatic... elves kind of like telling people to go away and this is none of their business.
Inquisitive business, as you were.
Inquisitive business.
Move along.
Step aside. Step aside, we said. Not your concern. This gets shouted out a lot along with occasionally Nimverna's like, just go away. There's nothing to do with you. Get out of the way. Between the six of you, you managed to get out onto the streets past all the mages in the Mage Society. It's not a big
place.
See what
this says? It's NYPD means I will knock your punk ass down.
That's the one.
Men in Black joke.
I want an inspiration for having to endure.
I'm going to give inspiration to Arch.
Listen, if we had...
Good job, my man.
Yeah.
If we got inspiration for having to endure Arch's jokes, we'd constantly have inspiration.
It's not just him. She's been a royal shit this episode.
How dare you?
Wait a minute. Royal shit, excuse me.
I could have killed you. How dare you? Anyway, so the six of you make it out into the street absolutely fine. You transfer your senses into TO. For those of you who have not been to Belegboo before, and even for those who have, a quick reminder... Most of the buildings are built or carved into the trees themselves. There are loads of small floating orbs that emit light, much like that used to be in Darkhammer. And it keeps this place fairly well lit. It is morning, so the sun is already up and about. You can hear the waves crashing against the edge of this tiny island, and all around you see are trees, different colours, different heights. But the biggest, the brightest, the most vibrant of the trees is towards the middle of the island. And it's visible from pretty much everywhere. And as you look at this, there is a... Towards the very top, right up there, right in the canopy, you can see that there are a series of balconies that have been carved into this, either added on or extensions. There are walkways between the trees, between the buildings, there aren't many walkways that lead to this particular big tree, but there are some. It's huge. Don't ask me distances. It's a lot of balances and even more squashes. Tio, you flying in Tio, I'm going to call you Tio Jack. Tio Jack flies into the air. And it's very easy for you to, even at such a range, to make it up to each of these balconies in turn. You check the bottom one, nobody's there. You check the second one, there's servants here and they're putting things out and moving markers on tables. It isn't until you get to the very top one. Do you see anyone there? Can you roll a perception check for Tio for me, please, Tio Jacques?
Does he have anything that gives... Okay, senses advantage on perception.
Boo.
Ah-ha-ha! I'm glad I checked.
Oh, he has keen senses? Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, it's keen senses, yeah.
Nice.
It's nice. A dirty 20.
A dirty 20. Nice. You notice that there is a fairly... There is a tall female elf here with a crown on her head. You, as Raljak, recognize this crown as being the crown that you are looking for. It's one of the relics. You see around her throat a duplicate of the necklace that you guys found when you were getting the shield. She is in conversation with a particularly well-armored elf and someone who is wearing simple dark leathers. You see a couple of people coming in and out. You see chairs have been set up for a meeting around a large table. You found her. She is up there.
Time to kill the... I mean, save the queen. Hi, Rahl here. We've had a couple of people find us on Patreon and support us lately. We really appreciate it. Thank you, guys. Thanks to Owen Curtis for becoming a patron. We really, really appreciate it. If you would also like to join our new patrons, you can find us on patreon.com/TLDpod and help support the show. We really, really appreciate it. Thank you. One more thing, just to remind you, there is the giveaway going on until, I believe, the 28th. Is the 29th. I checked it. It's the 29th, midnight. Make sure you get all of your entries in before then. Thanks to all of the entries we've had so far. We've enjoyed them. We look forward to everyone else joining in. And good luck. Good luck to everyone. So thanks so much for listening. And we will see you all next week. Bye.
No, Squat. Well, you. Fuck.
Mm-hmm. You got this. Mm-hmm. I believe in you.
No, there's. Okay, let me put it like this. I want to look in the mirror, but I can't because Demi's in the mirror room constantly. Earlier, when I tried to go to the mirror room and V had the perfect chance to let me look into the mirror, she actually had Demi be there.
Okay, let me put it like this. If you want to look in the mirror, Demi cannot be there.
Yes.
Like, that's very easy. Like, she has plenty of things to get on with. And, like, you could just be watching the mirror room for a while and just see her, like, grab up all of her things and, like, she's talking excitedly to herself. Yes, it does.
No, why would Squash want to look in the mirror? Nobody has ever told him to look in the mirror.
I'm pretty sure we've, in fact, told you not to.
Yeah, so, no, I can't, with good conscience, jury-rig a way for Squash to look in the mirror. Squash not doing anything.
Good, you shouldn't. It's a bad
thing. Why would he look into the mirror if Demi wasn't in the mirror room when he first went to look for her?
Because he was told not to look in it.
Then if the mirror room is empty, why would he go look at it now?
No, you're saying if he would sneak around just waiting for Demi to leave to look at it, that makes no sense. That's... deliberately contradicting them.
Well, nocturnal activities, he could be going to look for Demi and like the room is empty.
Squash is going to get some God Stream.
Good solution.
Okay.
That's what you get for...
Since I can't have horrific hallucinations in the mirror, I'll just get drugs to knock my ass out.
That's how that works.
Makes sense, yeah.
I can't do what I want to do, so I'll do drugs.
I just don't understand how there's a difference between when you first go look for Demi and you decide to go look in the mirror because she's not there, and now when you decide to not, like, just deliberately go look in the mirror.
I can't think of a good reason why Squash would go bother Demi again.
Okay.
Do you want that to be the reason?
No.
Squash wakes up in the night, it's just like, fuck, can't sleep, must go buck somebody.
Must go irritate someone.
I think somebody's doing... I smell important business.
I smell God's dream.
All right, I have two choices, and I'm going to choose to look in the mirror. Squash wakes up randomly in the night and he doesn't know exactly what to do or what he's doing, but he knows he can't sleep anymore.
Okay, we can do that. If you want to do this, we can do that. I need to go back and find the information. Sure. Okay. Yeah, you wake up in the middle of the night. If you want to... How do you get past the guards?
He walks past them. Squash has been interacting with the hoity-toity high-level people here. I'm pretty sure he, like... He was in on the big council. He was there when one of the things was put on. He is a very distinct-looking motherfucker. I think if Squash just, like, walks past them, just going like, hey, and just walks in, they're just going to be like, oh, I'm not telling him no.
Oh, boy.
Do you hear how many knives he has on him?
Did you see that tiny Squash guy? He's just made of knives.
All right. To make this sound less stupid, how about we cut the entire fucking argument, the entire dumb thing?
I hear Cicero couldn't even hold him.
Damn.
All right.
I feel like this should be a thing. So, like, I totally heard that this tiny Squash, you know, that really tiny guy, that guy covered in like patches and stuff, like, he went to Cicero, and my God, they couldn't hold him. He broke out.
All right. Are you done?
It's pretty metal.
I don't know. Am I? It's so fucking. Talking about my life, do you know how many knives he has?
Actual question. Do you want to fake to make this sound unintentional? Oh, you're just in a giggly mood now.
Yeah, I'm done. I'm out.
I like the idea. We can do this.
I like the idea of Squash getting mad at stalkers and throwing his knives at them, but they fangirl at the knives and like keep them like when a drummer throws drumsticks into the crowd and run off into an alley like, oh my God. Squash.
Oh my God. Squash's knife.
Squash is like, leave me alone. What the fuck?
Are we expecting Squash to like hear him and whisper and rumor about him?
Oh my God, did you realize how much God's 3 meters? Holy shit. Like an entire bank doesn't get me high. This is how fucking.
Wait a minute. Is this Kith? Is Kith here? Holy shit, guys.
Holy shit.
That's pretty fucking metal.
That's so metal.
Can't believe you lost the recording, V. I'm so disappointed.
So sorry. Disappointed. All right, Squash can't sleep in the night.
You can't pretend like you haven't been an asshole for the last 20 minutes. Just like, okay, Squash couldn't sleep.
Neil, cut that out. Neil, cut that out.
You do not get to do that to me.
So Squash, like, this is the night before you're all about to go off. Is there anything that you want to do? Everyone else has done like nice cutesy cool things.
Hello, Aria. Did you want to listen in on me and Rock enjoying ourselves?
Don't encourage.
Should I describe to you what we're doing right now?
Mikasa? Huh? What's going on?
Let's see. Look, these wind shells document anything you do in order to banish the spirits.
I don't banish spirits. I'm fixing the tangle.
Of course, we can't open a new hole into the Aetherweb every year.
But spirits aren't always bad.
Those are exactly the reason Tangleweeds happened in the first place.
I'm sure Raka knows how to get through a water gate without disrupting the magic belt.
So what happens when there's a hole in the weave? Does magic pour out?
It is already broken! Let more of air into this world! I'll destroy one of them!
You've fed enough already!
I will kill you, you filthy
little... Whoa, calm down, Raka!
Try it, Feather Duster!
God, ferocious Rune Master! Your friction will grind the weave a twain!
Hjarta. In moments like these, I wish I could see the runes.
What's wrong, Raka? Is that Tangleweave maybe too difficult even for someone as great as you?
Counterbalance, a high fantasy audio drama. Subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get podcasts from.
Hi, I'm Alexis Ohanian. You may know me as one of the co-founders of Reddit, but more recently, a large part of my identity is being a father to my two wonderful daughters. In my podcast, Business Dad, I'm hoping to open up the conversation about balancing careers and family. The one thing I constantly hear successful people say, without fail, is that they wish they'd spent more time with their kids. That's time no one can get back. So I decided to create Business Dad, to engage in the conversation about how we're spending our time now, providing a forum for successful dads to share their joys and challenges of being a working parent. You'll get to hear from a wide range of business dads, from Rainn Wilson and Guy Raz to Todd Carmichael and Shane Battier. And while this podcast will talk about business and will definitely be featuring dads, I think everyone can learn something from these incredible conversations as we unpack the expectations we all have about careers, relationships, and ourselves. Business Dad is available now, so be sure to listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.